aren't satisfied for our preach this morning. Appreciate the goodness of God today. Mark's Gospel, chapter number 5, if you have a Bible this morning. I was thinking we've had 4 seniors that's graduated. They've moved off to college in the last 2 weeks. And Miss Gayla, if you would get us a card to all 4 of those, I'd like to put them here in the foyer a couple of weeks and let everybody sign the cards that can. Let them know that we love them, appreciate them. And they sure do need our prayers. Amen. And mom and daddies need some prayers. I remember when Megan and Macy moved out, I could hardly wait. But then when it happened, it got a little lonely. Somebody say amen. And, but God has proved it. Has God proved Himself faithful to you? Mark's Gospel. And we'll read one verse and let you be seated this morning. The Bible said, and they came over the other side of the sea in the country of the Gadarenes. You may be seated this morning. Father, we love you. We thank you for the good grace of God. Help us now. Let preaching be easy a few moments. Thank you for helping us this last week in church revival. And God, how you stirred our hearts. And we thank you. I pray for our church now. I pray for this time together. Oh, God, that you'd help me to be a blessing to the people of God. Would you move and do that only what you can do today? In this hour, we need you. Help our nation, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I want to read this passage and I want to preach a few minutes on a thought that the Lord has given me. The Bible said in Mark chapter number 5, and they came over. The Bible said when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs, a man with an unclean spirit who had his dwelling among the tombs. And watch your Bible. No man could bind him, no, not with chains. Because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains. He had tried a lot of things. A lot of other people had tried a lot of things. But you know, they just couldn't hold him down. The Bible said the chains had been plucked asunder by him, the fetters broken in pieces, and neither could any man tame him. Underline that in your Bible. Not any man could tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. When he saw Jesus, that's who we've been singing about this morning. When he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and he worshipped him. He cried with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God, or I make an oath to thee, that thou torment me not." And he said unto him, "Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit." And he asked him, "What is thy name?" And he answered, saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." He besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. There was there nigh the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, "Send us in the swine that we may enter into them." Forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered in the swine. And the herd ran violently down a steep place in the sea. There are about 2,000, and they were choked in the sea. They that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country. They went out to see what it was that was done. They come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil. Had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind, they were afraid. They saw, it told them how that it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. They began to pray him to depart out of their coast. When he was come in the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. How Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, "Go home to thy friends. Tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath had compassion on thee." And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. Now look in your Bible in verse 15. The Bible said that they come to Jesus and they saw him that was possessed with the devil, had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. I want to preach out of that verse this morning on this subject. Getting our mind right. Getting our mind right. Now you'll notice when he met Jesus, Jesus changed his mind. Jesus changed everything about him. And in this thought, he got his mind right. Let us get our mind right this morning. I want to say, first of all, let's get our mind right about ourselves. This was a man. Notice in verse 2. When he was come out of ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs, a man with an unclean spirit. I want to say, first of all, don't think that it can't happen to you and I. Just because somebody seems to act a lunatic, don't put yourself upon a pedestal and think that it couldn't happen to you, or to your wife, or your husband, or your child. Because I want to remind you, we better get our mind right about ourselves. Let me tell you, man left to himself is wicked, and he needs to be generated by the Spirit and the power of God. Man is in total depravity because of the sin in the garden. So don't put yourself way up too high this morning. Realize that we're all human in this day. And in this hour, now a lot of people didn't see him as a man, but Jesus seen him as a man. We look out and we see a lot of people that act like lunatics. They act like the maniac from Gadara, but I want to remind you they have a soul. And that soul is going to give an account for itself unto God that's sitting on a throne high and holy this morning. So maybe we ought to not look at people in such a downgrading way, but maybe we ought to throw our hands toward heaven and say, thank you, God, that you intervened in my life one day. And thank you, God, when I start to go astray by the sins of my flesh. But there is a holy one that knows how to speak a word to my situation and your situation this morning. Don't put yourself upon a pedestal. I've heard a lot of people say, well, I don't see how in the world she could do that. I don't see how in the world he could do that. I don't see how in the world they could do that. Honey, we better look on the inside this morning and realize within us is great wickedness. And if it was not for the Lord Jesus Christ, there would not be any righteous blood in us today. The Bible said in Genesis chapter number 6, verse number 5, the Lord had something to say about the wickedness of man. He said in Genesis 6 and 5, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And he repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. So there we see, getting our mind right about ourselves. We were all depraved because of the sin of Adam in the garden. The psalmist David had something to say. Psalms 51 and verse number 5. Psalms 51 and verse number 5. Here, David says, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Did he say that my mother done wrong, maybe in a relationship, and had me? No. He says, out of the womb, I was born from the womb of sin because of Adam's failure and rebellion in the garden. Friend, when he went against what God said,
It threw all mankind into total depravity. We were dead in our sins and trespasses without God. You say, well, preacher, some folks is more dead than others. No, honey, dead is dead. And it takes the voice of Almighty God to quicken our spirit and soul together, to regenerate us, being born again by the Spirit of God from above this morning. You see, getting our mind right about ourselves, it reminds me of thinking where I could be this morning without the grace of God. It ought to remind you where you could be this morning without the grace of God. So getting our mind right, church, let's get our mind right about ourselves. There is no good in us, no, not one. But I'm glad we that have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, His righteousness has been imputed into us. And now when God sees us, He sees His Son. And I'm glad I'm saved by amazing grace this morning. Getting our mind right about self. Secondly, we need to get our mind right about Satan. Look what he said in verse number 2 within this text. He said, and when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. The devil shows up. You know, all through the Bible, the devil has showed up all through the pages of time. I will remind you today, just because you're saved by the grace of God, it does not mean that the devil won't show up. I seen something on a church sign this week that I sure did like. It said, when you flee temptation, don't send the devil a forwarding address. Boy, isn't that a pretty good quote on the church sign? Amen. I seen one time on a sign said, hey, are you a spigot or a drain? That right there preach a while this morning. But I'm going to tell you, Satan is alive and he's well. In John 10:10, I wish this world had a better view of who Satan really is. John 10:10, we better get our mind right about Satan. John 10, Jesus calls him a thief in verse 10. The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. Jesus said, I'm come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly. What's the devil up to, preacher? He's up to stealing and killing and destroying. And the devil's not our friend. You better quit playing around with the devil. Honey, the devil will have a heyday out of you. You better realize we better make our mind up about Satan this morning. He's a destroyer and he's an enemy. He said, he comes to steal. How much has he stolen from you? He comes to kill. I wonder what he's killed around you. And he's come to destroy. He's so destructive. But getting our mind right about self. We better realize without the grace of God, we could be where Legion was in this day and this hour. Don't look down at anybody down your nose and think that you're better than anybody else. If it wasn't for the grace of God, we'd all be in hell this morning. You hear me? Without the grace of God, we'd all be in hell. You see, getting our mind right about self, about Satan. But thirdly, I want to say we need to get our mind right about sin. Now I want you to notice in this text in Mark's Gospel of chapter 5, look in verse 2, note the disturbance of sin. Young people, I want to say something. Sin is fun for a season, but it don't last long. Our flesh loves sin. Now, there is this teaching in the Word of God in Mark 5 that we better get our mind right about sin. First of all, sin brings a disturbance. He said, and there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. Could you imagine when Jesus come across on the other side with those disciples? They just come out of that great storm and Jesus has said, peace be still. And everything was calm and great. And all of a sudden, here appears legion unto him. It brought a great disturbance. Could you imagine the sight that they seen out of legion? Sin brings a disturbance. It's always brought a disturbance. It's brought a disturbance in my home, in my life. It's brought a disturbance every time that I have given sin a right of way in my life. So it brings disturbance. But then secondly, sin always brings defilement. The Bible said in verse 2, he was a man of an unclean spirit. It brought defilement. Let me tell you, sin never does clean you up. It just gets you real dirty. I want to say that again, the defilement. Sin never gets you clean, but it gets you dirty. And in this thing, getting our mind made up right about sin, we see sin's disturbance, sin's defilement. But then look at the dwelling of sin in verse 3. He said, who had his dwelling among the tombs. I want to underline that in my Bible. His dwelling among the tombs. He hung out in the graveyard. You know where some graveyards are? It's the beer joints, and it's the dance hall, and it's the nightclubs. And I know you may be quiet, but honey, that's a place, a graveyard. That's a place where dead people hang out. And you'll notice they got the lights turned down real low. And when you got the lights low, you can't see critters very good. You ever notice when you turn the lights on how critters go to crawling? My wife can't stand bugs or mice. I'm not fond of them either. We pulled the boat out Memorial Day. My family was going to tube a little bit. CC was driving. One of the kids is on the tube. And Brother Adam Macy got up front. And I'd had my boat backed up in a dark place. About the time Brother Eric, that boat hit the water, them rats started running, and y'all ought to seen Macy that day on the front of that boat. Somebody say amen. I mean, she nearly made me a new boat in that city. Renee said, that's the funniest thing I've seen all year, Daddy. I mean, y'all ought to seen that red head a-flaming out there in that city. I mean, she was ready to bail. Them rats was a-running everywhere. I don't blame you. Say, what happened? The light got turned on. They was happy in the dark. And so you'll notice the sin's dwelling. It took him into some bad places. He hung out in the graveyards of the town. Next time, I wish some of these governors that look at these bars being essential. They're not essential. They're devastated and they bring destruction. You see, we better get our mind right about sin. It sin's disturbance, sin's defilement, sin's dwelling in the tombs. But look at the sin's dynamics, verse 3 and 4. He had his dwelling among the tombs and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because he'd been often bound with fetters and chains. The chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. The dynamic of sin. Sin is powerful, and addictions are very strong. Young people, you be careful how you play with sin. Before long, it'll be playing you. Be careful because sin is very powerful. I've noticed this in days gone by in my life from the transition of sin. When I wanted to leave sin alone, it wouldn't leave me alone. Be careful fooling around with sin.
Boy, it's quiet. Somebody ought to be shaking a little Baptist head up and down this morning. I'm telling you how it is. When you want to leave it alone, it won't leave you alone. So the dynamic of sin is so powerful. Addictions are real. There's so many people that have great problems with addictions, and my heart bleeds for them kind of people. A lot of people say, oh, I'd be stronger than that. Well, you've never been where that person is. You've never known that. And I want to say something. I want to ask you young people something. Where did Legion, or this maniac of Gadara, let me lose that terminology and let me get down to where we live. Where did this man open the door at in his life to the devil? He had a family. He was somebody's child. He had some acquaintances. He had some friends that I'll show you in the end of the passage. But I want to ask you something. I wonder, and a lot of you may roll your eyes at me, but did he start listening to the wrong kind of music? You know, you don't hear that much preached no more, but you know, there's a lot more to life than achy, breaky heart. And y'all listening to somebody's tractor sexy, that's the craziest thing I ever heard in my life. Music will affect you. Young people, watch what you listen to. I had a German Shepherd dog years ago. I've always loved German Shepherds. I got one today. And he's one of the greatest dogs I'd ever owned. When Megan and Macy was little kids, they'd ride their bicycles over to Nanny and Papa's next door. And they'd lay their bicycles down by the chimney. Miss Pig and that dog would lay there by their bicycle, just guard them. He'd lay there. Do they come out? I mean, he was going to what? He was the greatest dog. I mean, he was a wonderful dog. He was a great companion. And I was out in the yard one day, and I seen this car come by, and it had 22s on it. Somebody say amen. Man, that thing was a bumping and a rattling. I seen that dog throw his head up and looked at that road, and man, he run out. That guy was playing that hard rap music. That dog went right on that back tire and he said, bump, bump. You say, what happened? I said, that junk killed my dog and it'll kill your dog. Somebody say amen this morning. My dog didn't even like it and he tried to attack it. And it didn't work out good for him and it won't work out good for you. You ever been sitting at a red light down at Walmart and your truck go to vibrating with somebody beside you and you're looking there and you say, man, how you got enough sense to turn your car off? I mean, they become this brain dead, the shock. I wonder, did he start running around the wrong crowd? Some of you young people, you better realize once you get the door open to sin, it's hard to get it shut. I'm not one of these guys, it's going to tell you if you love Jesus, you ain't going to have no issues. I'm telling you, if you saved by the grace of God, you better quit fooling with sin because for long, it'll be playing you. Watch your friends. Social drinking will get you in a lot of trouble. Get you in a lot of trouble. Your buddies smoke one joint of weed on the lake. Yeah, I know you think that ain't a bother nothing. Before long, you'll be getting you a little draw or two. Before long, you'll have an addiction the way I did years ago, and you'll be wanting to leave it alone, but it won't leave you alone. I opened the door to the devil in a hay barn when I was about 14 years old, and it's haunted me all the days of my life. I didn't want to be doing that. But I'm glad one day Jesus came and saved me, and He put something in me now that'll defeat the devil. We better get our mind right about sin. You see, we see sin's disturbance, its defilement, its dwellings, its dynamics. But look at verse 5. Boy, isn't this so good right here, and it's so real. Sin's discontentment in verse 5. The Bible said, and always night and day he was in the mountains, in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. Sin's discontentment. Yes, always night and day. Sin, with sin, you will never be satisfied.
You hear me? Sin will never bring you satisfaction. You'll always be looking for another fix, another high, another thrill. But you know, I like what Jesus said. Psalms 107. I want to read this to you. Stay in your text. I'll be right back. I'm about done preaching. Some of y'all done heard more than you want to hear anyhow. Psalms 107, verse number 8. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. For He satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. Let me tell you, Jesus will do something that sin will never do. Jesus will give you something that is satisfying forever. The discontentment of it, night and day, He never was satisfied with what He had. You may be sitting here this morning. You'll have to agree with me because I have lived it years ago, and I mean it with all of my heart this morning. The discontentment of sin, it does not satisfy. There's a longing that God put in us that only God can satisfy. You take a guy that's hooked on gambling, he's never satisfied. I'll win the next hand. I can tell you people that has lost more things than most of us could have ever got in life. But I want to ask you something. This man, where did he open the door? Be careful the doors you open with sin in your life. Young people, you can take a wrong look at one picture. Mom and daddies, you can take the wrong look at one internet site. Mom and daddies, you can open the door and stop at one liquor store or one dope shop. Be careful not to open the door. I wonder where he opened the door. Be careful to open the door. It's hard to get them closed. Sin's discontentment. Verse 5. Boy, you'll have to agree with the preacher about this. Look at sin's disfiguring. In verse number 5, and always night and day he was in the mountains and the tombs crying and cut himself with stones. You ever watch the Hollywood crowd and they tell you they're living a life up so big. They're in these big castle homes and man, they're drinking and doping and partying and they've got about 55 girlfriends on the side. Have you ever seen what they look like at 50 years old? The disfiguring of sin. Boy, sin is hard on people. You ever seen anybody that's been a drunkard all their life and look at them that somebody's lived for the Lord side by side and see what a vast difference it is? You say, well, preacher, you don't look too good yourself. Well, I've had a few hard nights. Somebody say amen. But I can guarantee you one thing. The disfiguring of sin. You young people, it'll make you look a lot older than your time if you're not careful. It'll put you in the graveyard early. It'll put you in a hospital bed. It'll put you in places you thought it'd never take you, young lady. The disfiguring of sin. Look at this, verse 5, the discomfort of sin. He's always cutting himself, night and day. He is bleeding. Let me ask you something. You ever been around anybody that's bleeding? I want to ask, do you turn your head and snob them? Or do you really have compassion of them because they're bleeding? I know it's easy to say, well, you did that, now you deserve it. Let me ask everybody at Liberty, what do we really deserve? If it wasn't for the grace of God, I'd be in hell this morning. I'm glad God's given me chance after chance after chance. When somebody's down, we better not be kicking them. We better be lifting them up and helping them for the cause of Christ. Yes, we have a testimony. We should work every day and long to have the right kind of testimony. But honey, let me tell you something. If you fall and you get in trouble, it's no time to beat people down. Pick them up by the good grace of God. The discomfort of sin. How many people this morning are so discomforted because of sin? Sin in your home. Sin in your life. Sin's never brought comfort. Just for a moment. I want to tell y'all, back when I was a teenager and I got with the wrong crowd, I got to doing things that I'm ashamed of. And you know something? It was so discomforting in my life in them days. I was looking for comfort in the wrong places. Only Jesus can give you peace. Then lastly, there's the destruction of sin. Verse 5, he pretty much had ruined himself. He was on a road to self-destruct. Do you hear me? If, I don't want to get ahead. Let me go on and read this next one now so I can get that point. I'm about done preaching. Getting our mind right. We better get our mind right about self. We better get our mind right about Satan. We better get our mind right about sin. But fourthly, let's get our mind right about the Savior. Now, Jesus done something in verse 6. When he saw Jesus afar off. I want to tell you this morning, sinner friend. Jesus didn't tell him to go back where he come from. Jesus didn't throw rocks at him, but the religious crowd would have stoned him. Jesus come off of that ship from a great storm. And I want to remind you what we better get our mind right about our Savior. Honey, He sailed through the storms of life. He went through the Garden of Gethsemane. He went on Calvary's cross. He went in the grave, but the third day He rose up and come across that storm to save our worthless soul. Jesus was kind to him. When he saw Jesus, I want to ask you, have you seen Jesus? We better get our mind right about the Savior. If Jesus had not come across in that storm, and when he saw Jesus, I want to say this. This is what I want to say earlier to get this point. He was on a road of self-destruction. See, if you leave a sinner alone long enough, they'll self-destruct. You know why I've not self-destructed? Because the Lord come across and sailed into my life. And I say, thank you. You say, preacher, are you ashamed of it? I'm ashamed of how I've done, but I'm not ashamed one day Jesus sailed into my life. Miss Emily, once you come play, we get our mind made up about the Savior. I want to say, first of all, Jesus showed Himself in verse 6. If there's ever been a day and an hour when we need to be lifting Jesus, church, it is today. Can I tell you, Jesus sits in a high and a holy place. And the Bible says, watch this, He's a friend of sinners. I wonder if Legion walked in our building today. Brother Mike, I wonder if Legion come walking in. What a great disturbance it'd bring. Lord, look who just come here. But I wonder if he got to look at Jesus. What a difference it'd mean to him. Is anybody seeing Jesus in you? Saw Jesus. You see, Jesus showed. Secondly, Jesus shared. Look at verse 8. For he said unto him, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. Jesus seen him as a man. You say, preacher, what happened? He just heard the word. Can I tell you this word is still powerful this morning? You know why we focus on preaching at Liberty Baptist Church? Because of the word. The word. We need to learn about the Savior, get our mind right about Him.
He showed, he shared. Look at verse 13. He shined. Look what happens. The Bible said in verse 15, they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil, had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind. And they was afraid. Jesus shined. I love it when Jesus shines. Y'all know Brother Dana, his nephew, Brother Jack, he was saved in prison. That little Hispanic boy come by and told him about Jesus in a jail cell. I've been alone, Brother Jack. You ought to hear some tales he's got. It's unbelievable. But now, Brother Mike, when I look at Brother Jack and I get to thinking, boy, Jesus sure did shine. Is he shining on you this morning? Then lastly, let's get our mind right about the service. Do you see what he done? There was three prayers prayed in this text. Two were answered. One was denied. Legions was just denied. You know what he asked Jesus? When Jesus changed him, he said, verse 17, they began to pray him to depart out of their coast. In other words, when Jesus turned them demons loose and went in them hogs, 2,000 went in the depths of the sea. Them people were so upset, they didn't want Jesus around. Let me tell you, this world don't want Jesus around now. So Jesus answered their prayer. Fine, I'll leave. Let me tell you, Jesus ain't going to be around no place where he's not wanted. He left. And I watched this other prayer. And when he was come in the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Oh, Legion said, Lord, I want to be with you now. Ain't it something when you get saved how you want to be around Jesus? But Jesus suffered him not. He didn't answer that prayer. But said unto him, go home. You home? Yeah, he had a home. He had a home. And I want to ask y'all something. I wonder when he got home what his family said. I wonder, was it anybody there that said, I've been praying for you. I'm so glad you've come home. Go home. Yeah, you see, when Jesus has saved you, he'll give you something to go back to this morning. You better realize what the Lord's given you and cherish it with your family. Go to your home. Now look what he says. I'm not going to let you go with me. I want you to go home. To your friends and tell them. Oh, let me tell you who can tell out who your friends are. It's when they're there when you come home. You'll know who your friends are when you come home. They'll be there. Go home, tell your friends what great things Jesus has done. We better get our mind right about our service. Our faith ought to show up at home. Oh, Legion. Tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath compassion on thee. You know, it's hard.